And now, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned. Right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Yo, Nima. Nima Vidati.
Yeah, that's me. This is Nima Vidati. What's your name, man?
Michael W. Dean, broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in rural Wyoming. That's my name.
Do I have to say the whole
thing? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What happens if I get a word wrong and I try to say the whole thing? Like Michael W. Dean broadcasting from a windowless bunker in rural Wild West Wyoming?
Then I just get irritated. And you know how fun I am when I got irritated. You saw that yesterday.
You're the funnest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It's so unfun that like DJ was in the next room like cringing because I was being upset with someone else. She's like, God, I hate that tone of voice, man.
Mm.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But we got it straightened out. Straightened out, and the result is you're going to get a calendar. It's that easy.
Yeah.
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 Calendar. Easy, you know, I was saying that it, like if I had a child now, or if I were, you know, sponsoring someone in AA, if someone were looking to me for guidance, not that anyone who listens to this show does, they're probably like, ugh, that grumpy old man. But if anybody were looking to me for guidance,
then I would run for office.
The first thing I'd probably tell them is get a calendar. Don't get something with cats or naked men or naked ladies on it or, you know, muscle cars. Just go to the office supply store and get a big, giant, like, blotter size, you know, desk size wall calendar that has no images on it and just like a 2.5 by 2.5 inch square for each day. And hang it on your wall and write down stuff you have coming up. And then at the end of each day, like violently X out the day when it's done with a magic marker. Like you don't have to do that part, but I do that part because it makes it easier to look at it and see what day it is. And it's also kind of symbolic, and it's not really violently Xing it out. It's more like, I gave a good day. That one's done. There's a whole nother one tomorrow. And that's kind of, it's really simple, man. Like, you know, a $9 calendar once a year and then some magic markers. Don't huff the magic markers, but it's really great for organizing my life. And I used to have this thing that I did called the Dean 3-column plan that I actually printed in one of my books and had a download for it. You don't need to download for it. Basically, make a Word document, and you have 3 columns, and it's call, do, and get. And the call includes email or visit. The call is people you need to contact.
Like, I will call on you.
Yeah, the do.
I have a caller.
The do is stuff you got to do, and the get is things you need to buy. And then I just would do that in a Word document and then keep it on my desktop. And then once a week or twice a week, you know, I would print it out. I would go through it. I would add to it. I would scribble stuff out. And then when it got too messy, I would take the Word document on my desktop and update it and, you know, delete the things I've done and type in the things I need to do and print it out again.
So an example on yours would be call the BDSM store, get ball gag, do the nasty.
Do wife. Yeah.
I didn't want to say that.
Well,
do the nasty.
Do could be under visit. But, you know, today it's been more like, let's see, call a dozen radio stations, send, really it's just been, contact all day. There hasn't been much do beyond that or buy, but, you know, it could be, you know, the buy could also be to pay bills, like, you know, pay the internet bill, pay the, you know, pretty soon we'll have to be paying an FCC bill probably to be on radio, but,
really?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
You
but
gotta pay for your license?
Well, you gotta pay for your license, but we don't.
We don't, but the stations do. Yeah.
Well, Obama just appointed a new FCC chairman to replace the outgoing one. And the new one is a total Obama humper. Although the outgoing one is an Obama humper that Obama appointed. But you know how these politicians work. Like, they put one in that does a bunch of bad stuff, and then like, okay, he got away with that. Let's put another one in, and then he can do worse. But I don't know. I really think that they like having Alex Jones and Sean Hannity yelling at Obama, because it allows I think Obama likes it, because it allows him to say, look at my enemies. People don't get me. They're racist.
Right.
You know?
He can conflate all of his opposition with Alex Jones or Sean Hannity. Be like, well, if you're not with us, then you're an Alex Jones follower.
Yeah. And there's Alex Jones followers that are Freedom Fiends listeners, too. We don't really have followers. We have listeners.
Listeners.
Followers are too much work. When we have followers, I have to like write someone's name down on my Dean 3 column plan and deal with it. I don't like that. Last night, someone real.
You just send a form letter like a congressman, right?
There you go. Well, here's what I think. Like last night, someone was chatting with me by email, like a fan who had a lot of questions and was kind of using email like instant messenger. And I was like, you know, trying to watch a movie, and I had a really long, kind of hard, kind of messed up day. Second dental visit in 2 days, and was just really kind of stressed out. And I just had to keep getting up every 2 minutes to answer another one line question from the guy. I guess my message to him is going to be like, type up all your questions to me and send them to me, and I'll do a gumbo. I'll just answer. I'll interview myself. You know, I don't have an interview this week for the gumbo. So if he wants to ask me all the questions about me and the fiends and Wyoming and everything I know about guns, you know, I don't know. Maybe the government could use that information too. So just ask away, and I will do a gumbo of it, and it'll save me. I'll allocate time for it and share it with everybody rather than answering the same things one at a time while I'm trying to relax. That's all.
There you go.
So okay. Today's episode is called Armed
Until Further Notice.
Armed and Peaceful. Because okay. I was watching this cop show last night, and they were like, consider him armed and dangerous. And they caught him, and he was anything but armed or dangerous. But cops always consider the general public armed and dangerous, when generally the general public is, you know, armed, where I live, is armed and peaceful. And the cops are generally armed and dangerous. And then while I was thinking this, Ron Freeman sent me a picture of his cats hugging each other next to his gun. And it looked so armed and peaceful. That we're going to extrapolate that a bit more, but Nima's going to talk about his visit and triumph at the Municipal Palace of Justice today.
That's really what it was. The Ministry of Justice. Minijus, like if it was 1984, man. Yeah, I hadn't been to the Austin courthouse in a while, other than the Courthouse Express. You can see previous episodes for my take on that. But I went to the downtown, the big old thing, you know, that's in the same place as the police headquarters. And I'd been there, you know, in the past, back when I used to go to school in Austin. But I haven't had this much state harassment, you know, because I've been living in other places like Washington State and Wyoming, where the cops don't harass you every day. But now that I'm back in Texas, sure enough, they're on me like flies on flypaper. And so, yeah, I had to go take care of this thing. You know, I decided to go for a docket appearance. So you go sit in this thing, and you ideally get to talk to a prosecutor. And the way it works is you're in this tiny room. There's four prosecutors, and they're almost like drive-through attendants. Like, I mean, this isn't real lawyer work. They're kind of like fast food guys. You know, you come up to the counter, and they take care of everything. They're almost clerks, but they are prosecuting attorneys. Prosecuting clerks. Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty soon the clerks will all be carrying 40 cal Glocks, man. That's the way we're headed.
Yeah. And so in the small room, there's a bunch of lavalier mics hanging from the ceilings, like everywhere, so that everything, I don't know if it's being recorded at the time or if that's just for certain cases, but you assume when you see stuff like that, okay, well, anything I say can and will be used against me. And to the judge's credit, you know, the judge was actually kind of cool. I didn't really get to interact with him other than he addressed the body of the docket as a whole and gave a little speech about your, quote, rights and such. And he reminded me, I guess the reason I liked him, which is completely subjective and silly, is he reminded me of DJ Lance Rock from Yo Gabba Gabba. You know, sans the Russian spaceman outfit, but he kind of had that demeanor. He's really cool looking. But he did say, remember, if you talk to a prosecutor, anything that you say can be used against you and to attack you. He emphasized the against.
He was telling you your rights, which is rare for someone in the municipal palace of justice. So that's why he was cool, right? As a judge's
joke. He was, but it wasn't like a rote, I have to do this. Like, he was making eye contact.
And they don't have to do that. Yeah, you're right.
He was very firm on it, and he looked at us all and said, so really, guys, be careful for what you say. You don't have to tell your story. You can just talk about your options, because if you tell your story, then if you do decide to go to court, the prosecutor can use it against you, which is very true.
Yeah, you know, as broken a system as the justice system is, and as ridiculous as something like, you know, paying a fine for putting on your seatbelt, which is what you were being told to do, is it's better. Allegedly. It's better than a system where, you know, they just shoot you on the sidewalk like they probably do in North Korea if you disobey a law. And there are the rarer judge who still believes in the system and believes, all right, this is fair. Everyone gets a fair. And like, this sounds like a judge who, you know, it's hard for me to say cool, but as they go, it sounds like he's one that actually still believes in the process. Whereas a lot of them now are just
like, he was young.
Ah, that's it.
He was young, and actually my prosecuting attorney was somewhat friendlier, and he was young too. In fact, I heard him talking to another person saying, you know, I'm relatively new here, so he must have been there for a week or a couple months.
He hasn't had it beaten out of him yet.
So both the prosecuting attorney I talked to and the judge were youngish and maybe still bright-eyed, had ideas of Big J, as in big justice, you know, this
like big
pretty
journal,
concept
like big,
on paper.
Like people from J school, the other J school, journalism school, who
big
go
journalism,
in
yeah.
thinking they're going to be the next, who are the Watergate guys? All the President's Men.
Woodward and Bernstein.
Yeah, but really just end up, you know, being shills for the state and don't even really notice it happens generally. They're like, I'm getting more popular. It's wonderful.
Exactly. That's the key is it's not necessarily a conspiracy, but people naturally respond to the feedback they get. So if you're doing stories about how there needs to be more taxes and how great it is that the prison is locking more people up because it, quote, saves the county money, and you get a claim for that, obviously you're just going to keep doing whatever gets you a claim and a better job and a smile from your news director.
Well, that's Ben Stone's take on the whole thing, is that there's not a vast one world evil conspiracy that meets and drinks lions or owls blood, that it's actually just endless repetition of business as usual, do your job, get ahead, and get to steal more stuff.
Yep.
And that stuff gets rewarded, and fighting that stuff gets condemned.
Right. And I guess the thing about our state or any state monopoly or government monopoly run court system is it's not really set up in any kind of economically viable or thoughtful or market process kind of way. And one of the examples of that I noticed today is, okay, so supposedly, and they still say, yes, it is your right to have a jury trial. And that's kind of that's a big part of our concept of American justice, is you can face this jury of supposedly your peers. Now, obviously, that doesn't work out as well in practice as it does in theory, because they're often not really on your same level. They're not really your peers. They're not like you. They're from all walks of life and such. So I don't know if they can really be called your peers. But the thing was, is
Dave Chappelle has a great bit on that. The white guy that gets arrested and has a jury of its peers, and it's all like black and brown kind of street people going like, like nodding like, yeah, we're gonna F you in the A.
Let's get them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I found out today was, if I did want a jury trial, because of the way they run it, they get one jury, and they do it just like this docket thing, where it's kind of a cattle house or a slaughterhouse, where you just go through this line and they take a case at a time. And so there's no guarantee that if you're scheduled to come on a certain day and you decide to forego payment from your viable employment, you know, you decide to take work off that day, you could not even start your case. You could not start it the next time they reschedule it, which would be weeks after that, or even the next time. I mean, he made it sound like the average time was about 5 times you got to show up to try to get to where a jury will actually see it, because they're backlogged. He said some of these cases, you know, the ones at the top of the list, they're already months old, and it goes on a first-come, first-served
kind of
thing.
So basically, the reason you want to do that is not only because it's your Sixth Amendment constitutional right to do so, but because the Sixth Amendment says you have a right to be confronted with witnesses against you, which means if the cop doesn't show up, like he probably won't, it gets thrown out. Is that your whole take on this? Or reason for doing
it? Well, the reason I had wanted a jury trial was because I thought it would be easier to pitch. It would be easier to plead my case before people who are in my same position, people who are who work, people who drive on the streets, who aren't part of the state.
Yeah, but they watch the state news and they watch the state TV shows, right? And they think, well, that's better flaw, him than me. But yeah, probably. Yeah, you probably have a better chance of 12 of one of those 12 people being reasonable than you have one of one judge being reasonable.
Exactly, because the judge is the judge. Like, he is the enemy. He is the direct representative of
you're paying.
Staten.
You're paying. You know, if he finds you guilty, it helps pay his salary.
Ah, that too. That too.
If he found everybody innocent, I wonder if there were a judge who really had a propensity to err on the side of not guilty, or of like really low fines and really low jail sentences. You know, like the lowest he could legally get away with, and the least amount of time he could legally, you know, give someone actual sentence and not suspend it. And I wonder if what they would do to get rid of him. They would get rid of him somehow.
Yeah. I don't know. They probably have their ways. They always do. And you might say, you know, if you're playing devil's advocate, well, you know, the money doesn't go directly from your wallet into the judge's paycheck, or maybe even not into the department that pays him. And that might be true. But I mean, when it comes to the government and taking money, it's all kind of fungible. I mean, if they get this amount of revenue from, say, ticket fines, then that means they have to get less revenue from something else.
There's a
there's
an episode of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip where a bunch of movie stars are in like rural Nevada, and one of them gets caught with weed, and they have to bring the judge in, and he's like out playing paintball or something, and he's played by John Goodman, and basically like he fines him like $1,000, and they pay it to the judge, and the judge sticks it in his pocket. You know, maybe he's gonna
cutting out the middleman. Right?
Well, it's the weekend, and he's, you know, doesn't even have to be there. He could leave the guy in jail over the weekend. Yeah. But you know, maybe he's gonna put that check in the box that goes to the county coffers or whatever. But I just remember that he just sticks the money in his pocket, in his robe pocket. You know.
Yeah, I think that was like kind of a visual, poetic justice kind of thing.
Yeah, or injustice.
Injustice. Yeah, there you go. Poetic injustice. But yeah, man. So the jury trial wasn't really going to work for me because, I mean, it's hard enough to get there and take this time out of my day once. And if I do a bench trial, I might have to do it one more time. But if I ask for a jury trial, it could be five times.
That's
and,
what they
know,
want.
The prosecutor's
they
like,
want.
I'm not,
they want you to just right, go. Oh, I got nothing. You know, basically all that's going to end up, the only people that are going to go to jury trials are people with like really serious crimes or homeless people or unemployed elderly people.
Right. And I don't even know if that's how they plan it, but that's how it works out. And I doubt they have a distaste for it.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor said, you know, this isn't to discourage you. But when they say that, you're like, okay, so it is to discourage me, right? Because I should be listening to the opposite of what you're saying here because you're a part of the state. But obviously it is discouraging to say, hey, you know, over the next year, you're going to occasionally have to take time out of work to go sit in this oppressive courtroom. That's the other thing. And because it was a very oppressive, depressing, downpressing, as Lupe Fiasco says, place to be.
Downpresse is a reggae thing. That's a reggae thing. He borrowed that. Okay. Downpress a man.
He
means
did.
A, and the oppressor man.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, and when it's in a song with a bunch of other reggae
at
references,
least you
so
were able
sense.
To sit there and tweet the fiends. I saw you tweeting the fiends while you were in court, and some judges will not allow you to play with your chromed robot turds. It's kind of like school. Like, you can't use them in my court, they'll say.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're sitting in the pews and you've got, you know, you just put your head down and put it in your lap, nobody's going to
they
notice.
Realize that it's the compliacin of today. They don't want, you know, people getting in fist fights in their courtroom either. And, right. You know, most people are not posting feisty, ignore the state until it goes away things like you were. Most are going, I mean, court, it sucks. Or, you know, watching the latest... I don't even know what the kids watch today. What do they watch or listen to? I have no idea.
Kendrick Lamar.
I don't know what that is. That's not what the kids listen to. The kids listen to
check it out.
That's not pop. I'm talking about pop pablum.
Okay. Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I don't, Kesha. Kesha.
I don't know what that is, but go on. So okay. Do you have any tie-in with... I'm not trying to speed you up on this. I don't want your speedy trial to be sped
up.
I'll
broaden it out because this is – well, it's obviously not an old problem. People have known about this for a while. But it is a problem that is getting worse, at least in some places. There was a recent story about the Bronx or one of the boroughs in New York.
Burrows.
And they personalized it through
burrows
like rabbit burrows.
They are burrows. That's where it comes from, I think.
And they personalized it through this guy who had like a minor weed charge. It was like a stop and frisk, I think. Well, one of those things where the cops just come up and frisk people randomly to meet quotas.
In New York.
And the guy was like, yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm going to take this to a jury trial. But it's so backlogged in some places in New York City or that general area that people can wait up to 5 years or sometimes not even get a jury trial. So it's become so much of a problem, this supposed justice system that minarchists say we still need even if we smash the state. That look at the way it works. You actually don't ever get what's supposedly promised to you by the state. You know, because of the inherent economic calculation problems.
Well, the length
with
of the delay,
a monopoly socialist process.
The length of the delay of a speedy trial, if it's more than a year, it attaches the right, which is termed presumptively prejudicial, but no court has ever explicitly ruled that any absolute time limit applies. So they just get away with a little bit more, a little bit more, and keep making more things illegal to the point where the courts are so clogged.
Right.
That, you know, 5 years, that's a speedy trial. Sure, why not?
Well, look like Bradley Manning. He's been in he was in solitary confinement for a long time.
Military still has totally different rules, man. He's under military rule.
That's true.
They have their own rules. They can have a three judge tribunal with no jury and take you out and execute you. You can't do that yet in a jury. In a court of law in America, although drones are going around it or going to. But
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I decided to go for the bench trial and because there's nothing to really lose in a lot of cases, you'll get a higher fine if the judge doesn't like you and you go to bench trial as another way to discourage you. And you know, it's kind of a way of them saying, hey, pay it now and you won't have to risk paying double the price or triple the price later. But luckily, since it's just a seatbelt violation, it's not a moving violation, the price will be the same if I pay it now or if I lose at trial. And the court cost is the same, which is really interesting. The fine itself is like $50. The court cost is $100. And it's the same court cost whether or not I pay it at the courtroom express, you know, and just pay it with the clerk, you know, one of the Muni court girls with the Z, or if I go to a judge trial or if I go to a jury trial. Now, think about that's a really good proof of the fact that there's no real economic calculus or pricing system in this socialist enterprise called the American justice system. Because how does it cost them $100 for me to go pay it at the courtroom express? And still cost the same amount if over a year I get a jury trial and they pay each of those jurors $10 an hour to sit there. Doesn't make
any
sense.
Well, a lot of things that courts do in their gathering money aren't really directly viable. They certainly wouldn't be in the free market. I mean, I think the whole system is not viable in the free market. Even if people in the free market would sign up to be poked and prodded and arrested like cops do for doing things that are not violent, it wouldn't make enough money to cover itself, which is demonstrated in the fact that most local police agencies have to get some kind of state funding and federal funding.
Mm-hmm. And the feds and the state are happy, more than happy to do it, and they will push it on it on those smaller departments because they want those strings that get attached with any money they give to the smaller local police departments.
I'm wondering if it's going to progress to the point where there's no way to win in what like with what you're doing. You're basically putting probably more time than it's worth into doing this, I think partially for the principal, but partially because you're poor, and that makes sense. But I wonder if they'll get to the
and
point.
And as an experiment, too, because if I can find a way and realize, hey, you know, and that's why this is such a good case for me, because I have nothing to lose. I can go to the bench trial, and I don't risk any extra money coming out of my pocket. So I've never done it before. This is a good test case for me. And if it works, then I can, in the future, avoid further fines by taking it to a bench trial.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's going to get to the point. A thought I have about all this is the point of a bench trial is generally you know, either that you have the jury to give you a better chance, or it gets thrown out if the witness doesn't show up and the witness is the cop. I'm wondering, with all cops getting to the point where all cops have a camera somewhere on them and not just on their car, if it'll be like the cop doesn't have to show up because the camera was the witness, or like with a, with an automatic ticket cam, you know, where a machine mails you a ticket, is that the witness? Can you fight that? I don't know if you can fight that, because I'm wondering if the camera is considered the witness.
Well, I think it's considered evidence, and the prosecutor, I mean, there's no requirement for him to have a witness, I don't think. He can just use evidence. And so, yeah, I don't see why he couldn't use, I mean, I don't obviously know the legal ease they use to bend you over for this one, but I don't see why they wouldn't be able to use anything like that as evidence in a case against you.
I know that in Wyoming, the way that a lot of people get out of DUIs is... and it costs a lot of money to do this. And for most people, it's they just do what the court tells them to. But people that have a lot of money or have the money to do this will often hire an expert to challenge the evidence, because the breathalyzers are really hard to calibrate and to maintain. And the test has to be given in a very specific manner to be legally admissible. And the same thing is true with radar detector guns. They get out of calibration all the time.
Yeah.
And people will, I mean, I know of people in Wyoming who have, or I know of cases where people have, you know, hired an expert witness, and literally, like, they pay I don't know, $5,000 to $10,000 to, like, fly some guy in from, you know, Minneapolis or New York or something, who is an expert. You know, like, he used to work as an engineer at the company that makes them or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I am going to file a motion for discovery, which basically means I'm going to ask for the cop's dashboard camera recording and take a look at it before the case. Apparently, it's really easy to do nowadays in their system. That's what they said, at least. I guess we'll find out if it really works like that in practice.
Now, do you get to keep a copy of that, and do you have the legal rights to it? Like, can you use it in a hip-hop video?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it is. I imagine it would fall under the same thing as a public document you achieved in a FOIA request, which would basically mean it's free public information. I would imagine. I'm not 100% sure on that, though, or any percent sure. I don't know. But that's what I would think. But then again, the state does a lot of crazy things that don't make sense. So who knows?
So how does this tie into can you tie this into the title of the cast today of the show? Armed and peaceful. Like, I'm thinking about, like, I'm sure you were disarmed. Like, you went through.
Yes, I was.
And I'm sure that there were people there who were armed, you know, ready to take you to task, up to and including shooting you if you got out of hand.
Yeah.
And most people would perceive the whole scenario of being in court as peaceful, but I perceive it as being threatened with violence. And talk a little about those three things.
Sure. I'll start with the last one first. I said it was very oppressive and down-pressing to be there. And that's because, like I said, there's four prosecutors. They're seeing people. It's almost like a cattle call kind of a thing. And you get to listen in. I mean, you're in close quarters with them. So you can just move your eyes to the left and right and focus in on any one of four instances of the state taking money from somebody, often for very silly reasons, and you can see people pleading their cases, which is not a good thing to do if you're talking to the prosecutor, because they can obviously use it against you. But you see people pleading, like, "Hi, my grandma."
Outside of the court proceeding, like they go up to the guy in the hall, or do you mean in the court proceeding?
No, this is how it works. You're all sitting in the pews, and about 3 feet in front of you, if you're in the front pew, is the actual tables. There's two prosecutors to a table, and there's two victims. I guess they would call them defendants. Two defendants to each table. So there's four interactions going on at any given moment in close quarters with you, where literally you get to listen in to whatever's being said. So it's not private in any sense. And so I can hear at any given time four conversations taking place where a prosecutor is basically saying how he's going to stick it to the defendant or the victim, and trying to give them outs, like, "Hey, well, you could pay me $200 now and it'll all go away. Yay." And so in that sense, it was very unpeaceful, and it was very stomach churning. You know, One of the reasons, you know, this is kind of a background reason, but I was thinking as I was in there, one of the reasons I felt so bad about my reporting job, and one of the reasons I really wanted to leave it, is I just hated being in court and seeing injustices taking place and realizing it's my job for the most part to report these injustices backwards. You know what I mean? And so as I'm sitting there in court today, that was the violence in the room, as you can see it going on. And not everybody recognizes it as that, but that's in essence what it is. It's them saying, and they might say it a little bit friendly, but it's them saying, well, you got to pay me now. And people will be like, well, what if I can't pay you? They're like, well, you got to pay me all of it now. We don't do a payment plan. You just got to give me the money. That's how it works. You know, if not, we'll issue a warrant, and you can be stopped at any time. And break that down. What does that really mean? So if you can't pay it, you say, hey, you know, I got no money this month. I lost my job. Whatever the case is, they'll look you in the face and say, well, we'll issue a warrant for your arrest at any given time that you're pulled over. You can be thrown in a cage. And implicit in that is, you know, that's going to happen. You're going to go to the cage, or you're going to resist, and that means we get to use violent force if necessary.
Yeah.
So that was really the violence in the room, I thought.
The state is really square. I think that we will make this kind of a ongoing reporting with NEMA as we go into radio starting 10 days from today. And his adventures in the non-market, the gun-to-your-head market yes. that is the government. But let's go to the real market.
My adventures in American socialism.
Your adventures in not... shouldn't be your adventures in shouldn't be legal land, but yeah. we're gonna go to the market, and we're gonna come back, and we got a whole bunch more news here on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yo, Nima.
Yeah, what's up?
Yo, did you reboot your cactus?
I did. My cactus has been booted and then rebooted.
People don't
might reboot it again, then I'll re-reboot it.
People don't necessarily know what that means. It's kind of a secret fiends code for something. Reboot your cactus. Is that what you kids are calling it now?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. So the fiends got written up today.
Going to respond.
The fiends got written up today in Talkers Magazine.
Woo!
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Why don't you read that? Are you on talkers.com? I could send it to you on the pigeons. It's a good little blurb, man. It's a good little blurb.
Yeah.
Talkers is the Bible. Go ahead and, it's the Bible of talk radio. It is basically the industry magazine for people who do talk shows, and especially for people who program talk shows at radio stations, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I was making calls today and it's like, people were like, oh, cool. When I said we got written up in Talkers Magazine, one guy was like, yeah, I saw it. Cool. It's kind of like going from, if you were a bar band calling clubs, trying to get booked and they're like, who are you, to, hey, we're a bar band. We want to play your club. And we got a little write up today in Rolling Stone magazine. They take it a little more seriously. And, you know, we're, sandwiched between, let's see, an ad for Laura Ingraham here and something about Sean Hannity. And then there's something about the Freedom Fiends. So go ahead and read this.
Yes. Okay. Freedom Fiends show to join GCN. The Freedom Fiends weekend talk show, co-hosted by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati, will debut on the Genesis Communications Network on Saturday, May 11th. Dean and Vedati described their program as, quote, great sounding, feisty weekend show about free markets, the police state, the war on drugs, the right to keep and bear arms, computer security, honest money, self-defense, self-employment, marriage, do-it-yourself media production, marketing, music, and more. Regarding the title of their program, the duo explain, Fiend means fiend, and the Freedom Fiends support the right of the smallest minority, the individual.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's
Talkers, baby.
There's a good image in there that Nima made. It's kind of small here, and when you click on it, it doesn't get bigger, but it's big on the Freedom Fiends blog. It's a sort of reimagining of the last scene of the movie. You found, now, the two frames you took of you and me, were they at the same moment, or did you find frames from different parts?
They actually were at the same moment.
They work really well together.
Right. I mean, I moved us around. I moved the layers which represent me and the layer that represents
closer.
You into different places.
You got us closer.
Got us closer. Mm-hmm. And so we'd be centered and sort of more pleasing to the eye.
Yep. And then you put some kind of hip-hop looking neon letters that say Freedom Fiends at the top. And there's a drone behind us and some surveillance cameras. And
yeah,
I've got a kind of confrontational look. And you've got a kind of like, so sleepy. Why are you mad at me? Not sleepy, but you have this kind of like Freddie Prinze Sr. 70s brown comic look. Like, hey, man, it wasn't me. And I like it.
Kinda,
it's
yeah.
kind of, it's a little bit Morning Zoo Crew, which is kind of interesting because someone asked me on the phone, a program director said, is the show AM or FM? And I was kind of taken aback because it was an AM station asking me this, but what he meant and what I immediately grokked, I said, it's AM with about 5% FM. And I extrapolated, like, you know, it's AM in that it's taught political talk about the events of the day, but it's about 5% Morning Zoo Crew, which is what FM talk radio generally is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taught. Why did you use that adjective? Taught.
Because I like things that are taught, baby. See, there's me being the Morning Zoo Crew.
Taught like a tiger. Yeah.
I like things that are tight.
Okay. I guess we are tight in some sense. Like, we get it. We're tight. We know what the principles are. We stick tightly to them. But we're not uptight, which is slightly different. But I guess there's no uptaught word. So
we're kind of tight loose too, as far as feel. You know, like kind of the way the Rolling Stones are tight but loose. You know, they're kind of like, they call them the world's greatest bar band because they're really they're incredibly tight, but they don't sound tight-assed, I guess is what it is. And we're pretty darn tight radio-wise and don't sound tight-assed.
Right. We sound genuine, human, not like we were written with a computer program or something.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Or so we say. It'd be better if other people said it about us.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
Talkers basically said it about us, though this was taken from something we wrote the other night. But it's really
good.
Well,
I like how they didn't just... Go ahead.
It's really good to be in there because I had a goal. One of my life goals that I wrote down on a 3x5 card in my 5-year plan recently was to have the Fiends mentioned in Talkers Magazine within 6 months of us going on radio. And it happened 10 days before we went on radio. So I'd say mission accomplished.
Yeah. And so you guys get a better sense of what Talkers is. Ron Paul actually took out an ad, it looks like, on the Talkers website. There's two banners that say small business owners love Ron Paul. Small business equals big local ad revenue. So I know Ron Paul's doing his whole podcasting radio thing now that he's not a congressman anymore. And it looks like he paid to be on Talkers, and we didn't.
So. We got the same number of column inches as him. And, you know, his show, this is kind of surprising. His show is not doing very well. I wouldn't say it's not doing very well, but it's only on about six stations, which is kind of surprising, man. He's Ron Paul. But I think a problem for program directors is the show is 5 minutes long. Who wants to or can book a 5 minute show? Basically, the only place most people could put it is in the 5 minutes at the top of the hour, which the station usually devotes to news and advertisements. So,
well, he's also got a minute long iteration called the Ron Paul Minute. That's him, and then the guy that asks questions is kind of a libertarian talk radio superstar. Oh, his name escapes me right now, but
bet he's not really libertarian. None of them are.
No, he is.
Oh, is he?
I think he wrote Red, White, and Broke All Over or something like that. Let me see. Well, I'll just Google Ron Paul Minute, because once I say his name, it'll click for you.
We're tight. Paul. We're looking things up on
the
internet.
Tight. Yeah. Well, this is our non-live show, so yeah.
And you,
Charles Goyette.
You had a lot to squeeze out after going to the Municipal Sausage Factory of Justice.
Exactly. Yeah, Charles Goyette. He wrote the Dollar Meltdown. Like he's plumb line. He's great, and he's also a radio pro. I think he lost his. He had like a big station show. Let's see. He formerly hosted talk radio shows based in Phoenix, Arizona on KTAR, KFYI, KXXT, some other ones. And then allegedly he was dismissed due to his conservative anti-war views is what the wiki says. So he was anti-war, but more from the right than from the left. Not like a kumbaya, let's all get along, give peace a chance, but like, hey, war is the health of the state, and we're supposed to not like big government, so screw that. But he's always on, like, Scott Horton's show.
So he's a real Rockwell. He got kicked off a conservative network for being a real conservative, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally
the definition
of a conservative.
And his other book that I was trying to come up with, right. His other book I was trying to come up with is Red, Blue, and Broke All Over, Restoring America's Free Economy, which is basically a thing about how make the government stop doing everything and then we can get out of the economic crisis. So he's pretty much, as far as I'm concerned.
There's a lot of a lot to say for that. I mean, today I'm hearing on the news like, you know, they're starting to implement Obamacare, and it was passed under a promise that it wouldn't cost anything. But lo and behold, when you insure everybody, including people with pre-existing conditions, and make companies keep kids on their parents' insurance until they're 26, which is really kind of indicative to me of like the infantilizing of America, like the, you could be a child until you're 26. You know, when you do all that, somehow the math didn't work out. And now Harry Reid is asking for billions of dollars to implement this thing they said wouldn't cost anything. And I actually heard a really funny take on Fox News about this, which was, one of the plump guys, I forget who he is. He's on in the afternoon. He's the one that pretty much nobody hates because he never gives opinion. He just reads the news.
Neil Cavuto?
Yes. Neil Cavuto was interviewing Wyoming Senator, the Dr. Enzi. Is that his name?
John Barrasso.
Barrasso. And and the plump Fox News guy said, you know, I mean, it's like when something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Like this whole thing kind of reminds me of all the diets I've been on where they said you can eat anything and lose weight. And I've tried them all. And look at me. That was his statement on government bloat. I thought it was pretty funny.
Cavuto said
yes,
that?
Yes, and kind of that's taking great. One for the team with himself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of great. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that's totally true. Don't believe anything the state tells you ever.
So the Ron Paul Minute.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah, the Ron Paul Minute. So it's basically a minute where Charles Goyette asks a question and then Ron Paul responds with a very Ron Paulian answer. So I think their intent was to put it at that, you know, 6 minutes before the show starts in a lot of show clocks, you know, where they have like already they have like Fox News or like on LRN.
It's
they
pretty
have
much
the
all.
Onion. So I think
all show clocks have 5 or 6 minutes at the top of the hour. Right. It's what the station gets out of it, pretty much.
Yeah.
Most
and so
it.
I think they were intending for the Ron Paul Minute to sort of fill that gap. And I'm not sure if it's doing better than the 5-minute iteration or not, but
maybe there's not a 5-minute iteration, and I imagine that. Do you know that there is? It might be a 1-minute show only.
I'd never heard of the 5-minute iteration.
You know, I think it is 1 minute.
I'm not 100. I don't really follow.
I think it is 1 minute.
Well, so.
You know what I was thinking of? And speaking of Barrasso, I heard this thing on. I was listening to K2 the other day. I was listening to talk radio because I want to know more about it since we're going to be on it, and. It's mind-blowingly hard to listen to. It's really and not just K2, but all of it is. It's really assaultive. It's really filled with wall-to-wall ads. The ads scream at you. The ads are often sound like a couple arguing. It's like, that's not going to make me buy something. And they talk really fast. And then the shows are ads too. Like there's a show here that's one of the best rated shows in town where it's basically a guy interviewing local merchants that advertise on the station. And I'm like, and I'm not picking on K2. It's just, that's how talk radio is. And, but they do this thing. They have Barrasso on. He has this medical minute or medical 5-minute show once or twice a week where he talks about medicine. And, you know, it's the only thing that he or any politician does that's useful is actually, you know, not quitting their day job. You know, he's offering like realistic, good medical advice. But right after that, there's this thing called Wyoming Minute, and it's like the news roundup in 1 minute for the state. And this was actually a Colorado piece, but they mentioned it. It was very interesting to me. They said, see if I can do it word for word. How much will legal pot cost? Colorado politicians are arguing over what the tax will be on legal marijuana. Democrats want a high tax. Republicans want a low tax to prevent a black market. That was the end of the piece. Okay, we're going to analyze this from a liberty view, but I first of all want to just say, like, throw away the liberty hat for a second. As someone who grew up in the 70s listening to Cheech and Chong, this sounds like a news item that would be on a Cheech and Chong record as a joke if they were talking about the future in the 70s. Like, it's a pretty bizarre time to be alive where there is an actual news piece that says Democrats and Republican lawmakers are arguing over the tax on pot. Democrats want it low, and they had some reason, or Democrats want it high to help reduce the state budget. Republicans want it low to prevent a black market. And you know, Democrats want it high because they steal a lot more money and want to spend more stuff on stuff. So spend more money on stuff. So that was so bizarre to me, man. It's like, I'm kind of glad I've lived this long to be able to hear that on the news. Like that's, I don't know if it's progress, but it's just bizarre. And it sounds like something from my youth that would be on a joke pot comedy record.
Kind of blows me away too that the, I mean, I haven't looked into it myself, but according to what you just said, if Republican lawmakers are really saying we need to keep the taxes here low to prevent a black market, that betrays a level of understanding that they don't take when it's the drug war, right? I mean, they don't ever say we want something that's a drug to be unprohibited because we want to prevent a black market.
Right.
So maybe it points to the fact that they're all legal positivists, right? So now that all of a sudden on a piece of paper it says, hey, pot's great, well, then we understand it and we know we can tax it.
Yeah,
so
it's a different thing to them now. It's a different substance because it's legal. Well, it's legal pot is a different substance to them than the identical illegal pot would be.
Ah, that's it, right?
Yep.
Because somebody didn't go through the proper channels of all the regulations that
licensure.
Republican lawmakers usually pretend they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's look at it more, too, from, I mean, it really belies to me the idea of politicians saying they believe in a free market. That's not a free market.
Ah, you're right.
From
you're
either
right.
side.
It's that. Yeah, yeah. It's them saying, how do we impose our will on the market? And the Democrats are saying, let's impose a lot of our will on the market and make it very and use it for our own ends, for our own constituencies.
Let me refine that. It's them both saying, we want a cut of this market. They're not really they're wanting to impose their will just by having it, but the degrees to which they tax it is them saying we want a cut of this. And the Republicans are actually being a little smarter in their theft because they're saying if we make the tax too high, we'll get less of a cut because there will be more of a black market.
Right. And that's all very true. But regardless of what they think in their head, both of those things are not free market, because even if they're just thinking about taking a cut, that does actually affect the way a market works. I mean, Walter Williams, I think, is so great at explaining that when the price of something is higher, no matter what it is, the market will take less of it, or consumers will take less of it. That's economics 101. That's like supply and demand. And he tries to pinpoint liberals on this because they never admit that if the minimum wage is higher, there'll be less employment, because that's the same principle at play. If labor costs more, employers will buy less of it. So either way, whether they tax it high or tax it low, they're still imposing a different they're imposing something on the market that wouldn't exist if it were a true free market.
It's interesting on Talkers, the two articles were sandwiched between. One is former Citadel Cumulus Birmingham cluster manager Bill Thomas sues company for unlawful termination. That's above us. And then below us is time to do some spring cleaning out at the transmitter site. I kind of like the second one better. The first one is like somebody who is making a whole lot of money in a sort of a part of a duopoly got fired and said, no, but I'm owed more. I don't know. Maybe his contract said that. In LibPair, that would probably happen. But I don't know, man. Laws.
Yeah. I get sick of seeing courtroom news, man. I get sick of like going to people's houses or businesses or bars and they have like CNN on and it's just courtroom footage. Ugh. Or court TV on and
cops.
And there's sort of this sick fascination for people to watch what's going on in somebody else's, I don't know, legal life. I don't even know what you call it.
They also do a lot of editing to make it more interesting than it is. Court.
Yeah.
The most fascinating case, you know, where there's murder or whatever, murder most foul, you know, I've sat in courtrooms watching things for various reasons. It's not very interesting. There are moments that are fascinating, but it's really weird that there's this whole genre of drama movies and TV where basically it's called, this is where I got the word taut. It's taut courtroom thrillers. You know, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Trials are not like that, and even if they have moments of that, rarely, they're not like that until court TV edits them. Trials can go on for months, man, and I mean the jury selection can be weeks. They're not interesting, and the same thing with like police proceedings. Like most police work, if they can call it that, is sitting around waiting to be able to catch somebody, and then they, you know, it's like 4 hours of eating donuts in the car and spying on people, and then 5 minutes of, you know, ultra violence.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching the show Bait Car, which I used to like. You know, it's kind of the last like really stato reality TV I could like, because the thing I liked about it was even though it's setting people up and it's creating a crime that wasn't happening otherwise and spending a whole lot of tax money that does not prevent the crime in general, and trying to look like heroes doing it. It used to be really, I guess it's still, I'll admit it, it's a little amusing to me the stuff people say when they're caught on camera and they're like, yo, man, this is my girlfriend's car. She told me. She gave me the key. And they're like, okay, look, we have video of you getting into this and saying, I'm going to steal this hoopty and lighten a joint and saying, I'm going to drive this over to Bill's Chop Shop and saying it to yourself out loud. And he's like, that's not me. That's the other guy I saw. And he's like, did you lend him this handmade shirt you're wearing? Yeah. Oh, there's more of these. I didn't make this. They sell them. Just, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But the thing I was thinking too, like in that show, they pull up some nice car that they've stolen from some drug dealer and leave it on the street with the door open. And immediately, man, some people just get in it and steal it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think in the worst neighborhood, I've lived in some bad neighborhoods and I never saw a car being stolen. I think they take like 8 hours of sitting waiting for someone to steal it and edit that out and make it look like as soon as you put a car in these neighborhoods, these people steal it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's all lies.
The wonders,
man,
of video editing.
It's all lies.
It is. And I remember going to court when I worked for a news station, and it was the most boring thing, and half the time you'd go, and you never really know what's going to happen. So sometimes if it's a big, high-profile case, like a murder or a rape or something like that, you go, and sometimes it'll just be the judge saying, hey, did you file a motion, blah, 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 and the attorney going, I didn't file that motion, but I filed this motion. And it's just them talking about paperwork for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or even an hour, and nothing gets done. It's all legalese, and there's nothing interesting whatsoever about it. And then you just got to cobble some 30-second news copy out of nothing. That can happen. The only thing interesting I've ever seen, I think, in a court case was at a sentencing – the prosecutor reading letters from the victim's family. That was the only compelling thing I'd ever seen, I think.
Well, they generally show the sentencing on TV, too, in a high-profile case, because then people get to go, yeah, my tax dollars are going to get him raped when he drops the soap, you know?
Yeah, and some of these cases can take years and hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for the judge and the attorneys to go there every few months and talk about paperwork for half an hour. you know, it doesn't really seem like a good economic decision for anyone.
The only interesting trial I've ever attended was the 4 days I attended of the Dead Kennedys trial where the band sued Jell-O for back royalties. And that was only interesting because Jell-O tried to grandstand and make it his soapbox and inject things that had nothing to do with it about what's wrong with this world. And he really bashed his band members. You know, we saw the other day in that interview, he called them a coven of Mitt Romney's. And, you know, basically said, they're hired hands, they've been paid, they're nothing without me, I'm a god, they're lowly serfs. And it made him look really bad. It backfired with the jury, and he lost.
Oh, I bet.
And I saw that happen, and then heard I didn't stay for the sentencing, but I heard the outcome, and I was like, of course the jury went that way. Because the other three guys were really humble and really mellow, and you know, their attorney asked him, like, what do you do for a living now? And the drummer's like, I work as a UPS delivery truck driver, you know. And Jell-O's like touring the world, giving speaking tours and running this record label based on his work, but also on the work of the guys that were in the band with him. And he was acting like Mr. Burns, man. And it really did not look good.
Mr. Burns. Oh, man. He would cringe if he heard you say that.
I should be able to run over as many children as I want. That's a Mr. Burns line in court.
Stealing candy from a child. That sounds like a lark.
A larf. He says larf. Is that an old way of saying laugh?
I think. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I'm not that old. I know pretzel bread means pretzel.
So the fiends are a bidet for your brain.
Refreshing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's going to be an episode title eventually.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's not very radio friendly.
Are bidets taboo on radio?
They should not be. I mean, I've heard ads on radio for colon cleanse a lot, which is a substance that makes you poo a lot, that's supposed to be good for your health. You know, and a bidet is sort of an external colon cleanse. Why not? Although I don't know, I think that a bidet is probably more enjoyable than taking something that makes you poo incessantly. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything bad about colon cleanse, but I think I would rather sit on something that has refreshing warm water on my backside than something that makes me have to sit on the toilet for hours. I don't know how that works. I could be.
They'd work best in tandem, because then you'd have an excuse to sit in the bidet
to sit and
all
spin
the time if you were taking colon cleanse regularly. So maybe we need to do some cross marketing.
Yeah, I'll, if Colon Cleanse sends us some free colon cleanse, I'll take a trip. I'll try it. So we got a great review and a bad review this week, and I wrote a cool article. So let's have you read this great review. I just pigeoned it to you on the pigeon trolla, as Mr. Burns would say. It's called Libertad Fiends Es Oro Libertario, which is Spanish for... The freedom fiends are the golden libertarians, I believe. Is that what that means? Or the silver libertarians?
Liberty gold.
The liberty
freedom
gold.
Fiends are liberty
there
gold.
You go. All right. Oh.
Libertarian.
Yeah, that's the name of the article. Okay, I can read Spanish, though, apparently. I can fumble through it.
So it's from a website called Roads to Liberty, from status to free individual. There you go. By RJ Parker, who's a good fan and does good work. And I've heard him talk before. He's a great guy. So here is what he said about the Fiends. Like you said, the title Libertad Fiends es Oro Libertario, or for the Spanishly impaired, Freedom Fiends is Libertarian Gold. Come to think of it, that second message is really just for the English enabled. Anyway, while driving around this morning, listening to the now 2 day old, yet freshly clean and nutritious Freedom Fiends podcast, I was taken aback by just how on they were. Yes, I will go on record as saying that they are my favorite Liberty cast going, but I'm not saying they're objectively the best, just that they are the best for me right now. Nonetheless, I rate the contents of their entire podcast, The State is Organized Barbarism, very highly. Their highly focused precision with regards to the subject matter is appropriately tempered with a fair dose of fun-spiritedness and adventure. For anyone who has yet to listen to even a single complete episode of the Freedom Fiends podcast, the link below is a perfect place to start.
Yay.
Direct link to the podcast. They effing nailed it. Here. And then there's a direct link.
That's nice.
Very nice. Yes. That is so good to read and so good to hear. And he's totally right. I don't think you can ever say anything is really objectively the best when it comes to stuff.
Yeah,
like
you can.
This.
We are objectively the best.
Well, it's the subjective theory of value that's the right one, right? I mean, everything is of different values to different people at different times.
Well, if we use the socialist theory too, we'd also be the best because I'd be willing to bet I put more hours of labor into this cast than anybody else does with theirs.
If the labor theory of value was true, we would be millionaires or billionaires.
Yep, yep. I'd be a billionaire. You'd be a millionaire.
There you go.
Yep. So then there was a very a review of us that was quite the opposite. It was by Jeff Smith, and he quoted us the show notes from the Status Generation cast. He says, "The Fiends wonder why all the rebels who taught Michael to distrust the government are now shills for the state. People like Jello Biafra, Henry Rollins, Ted Nugent, Michael Graves of the Misfits, and more." And he end quoted there and said, "Seriously, there's so much wrong in that statement, I don't even know where to begin." And if I were on Facebook, which I'm not, I would have replied, "No, please begin, because I'd like to know." But I'm going to imagine what he meant and then argue with him and have an imaginary argument with him because I don't have any other information. But okay. He's a punk rock guy. So the thing I'm thinking is he's probably a lefty who believes, A, that Michael Graves, who's a Republican, and Ted Nugent, who's a Republican, have no reason to be in a list with great visionaries like Jello Biafra and Henry Rollins. And B, he probably doesn't think that they are shills for the state. Now, how could someone think that, and why shouldn't they think that, Nima?
I thought when we were talking about this earlier, off-board, it reminds me so much of why Ben Stone's distinction between the government and the state is really important. Because you could look at somebody like Jello Biafra and say, well, he's bashing the current administration. How can you say he's a shill for the state when he's arguing against Obama and he argued against Bush and yada, yada, yada? What he's against is the government. It's who's ever currently occupying that position in the state. He's not against the concept of the state or the state itself as an organizer of society. He wants even more of that. And you can see the proof of that in his comments that he wants there to be something like a maximum wage. And he wants there to be something like education showing you how important taxes are. So he's a shill for this concept of the state that is what enables the state, that feeling in people's brains and hearts that says, well, some people get to tell me what to do, and if I don't do it, it's okay for them to beat me. He's totally into that, and that's really what being a shill for the state means.
Yeah.
It's not about bowing before the current occupier of a congressional seat or the White House. That's the government. Those are people on a small scale. It's like when Ron Paul talks about the Federal Reserve. He never says, people ask, well, who do you think should be the Federal Reserve chairman if you don't like Ben Bernanke? Ron Paul rightly says, I don't think there should be a Federal Reserve. It doesn't matter who runs the Federal Reserve. It shouldn't exist there in the first place. So it's the same thing for me and Jello Biafra is he doesn't think that the state should be abolished. So therefore, he's a shill for the state.
Yeah. And I would take it even further to the pure Ben Stone, bad Quaker concept of the state as not anything to do with the government itself or who's in office or getting the right people in office. But Ben says the state is the belief in the goodness of all of that, or the possible goodness of all of that, that keeps it going. And Jell-O is really arguing for the state being the idea of respecting the state in that comment he made about, I can't believe people feel bad about paying taxes now. And they teach you in school that, you know, the heroes were the guys who threw the tea into the harbor because they didn't want to pay taxes, which, first of all, I guarantee they don't teach that in school anymore. They do not teach that those guys were heroes. They whitewash it.
Ben Stone's right.
Yeah. They say King George was bad. Like they just put up this tower at where the World Trade Center was today. They just got the top of it put on, and it's the tallest thing in it's the tallest man-made structure in North America, and it's 1,776 feet tall. So basically, you know, they stole a bunch of tax money to make this thing and made it the height of the year that the guys wrote down the first, we're never going to pay your taxes again declaration. So,
wow. I think the word for that is chutzpah.
Yeah. So I also think that...
That is insane.
I also think that Jell-O might have some sour grapes. Read what I just sent you on the pigeons from the year 2000. This is something a lot of people don't know about Jell-O. Mm.
All the way back from summer 2000.
From Democracy from, Now.
Yes.
The daily... All communism all the time.
Yeah, Jell-O Biafra was nominated for the Green Party presidential primary in New York State. He is the former lead singer-songwriter of the political punk band Dead Kennedys. Biafra is also a renowned spoken word performer and social commentator. No stranger to politics, Biafra ran against Dianne Feinstein in the 1979 San Francisco mayoral race. In 1986, criminal charges against Dead Kennedys' Frankenchrist album thrust him into the spotlight as a spokesperson on First Amendment rights. It marked the first case in history to try a recorded work for obscenity. I didn't even know that, man. The trial ended in a hung jury, and the judge ultimately dismissed it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Here's another thing about why I think Jeff Smith is wrong in saying, I don't even know where to begin where this is wrong, saying that Jell-O Biafra, Henry Rollins, Ted Nugent, and Michael Graves are shills for the state. They have a lot.
He's
got
nowhere to begin because there's nowhere to
begin.
He's
wrong. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, all of those people used to make incredible music like 160 years ago. They all make really crappy music now. They all spend more time talking than rocking. And everything that comes out of their mouth is about how the government needs to point more guns at people to keep them in line.
Yeah.
The only variation between the two camps, the Henry Rollins Jell-O Biafra camp and the Ted Nugent Michael Graves camp, is who they think the guns should be pointed at. And I would say that Henry Rollins and Jell-O aren't even really quite in the same camp, because Henry Rollins is an adamant Democratic Party member who loves Obama. Jell-O Biafra is kind of like, those guys aren't doing much. He's a Green Party guy who leans like way more communist than the current Democratic Party even could imagine being.
Yeah.
All communism.
Yeah, man.
I
don't understand how you call yourself a rebel or fancy yourself a rebel, and what you're really asking for is more authority. Like, why does that not? Why do they not get an intense amount of cognitive dissonance and say, "Whoa"?
Especially
more
when
authority.
He,
wait, that's when, not what I'm working
when
for.
When
he
wrote a song, like the Dead Kennedys had a lot of songs that were pretty popular, but kind of their hit, if you could say they had a hit, the one that probably got the most airplay was called Holiday in Cambodia, and it was bashing Pol Pot for killing people, you know, the communist leader. And it's like, how can people lean communist as far as Jell-O does, like socialist beyond socialist to communist, to where you say there should be a maximum wage, and bash communism so much? And how can you hate Reagan's war machine so much and be like, not even mention Obama's control of the same war machine in an even more disgusting way with higher numbers of dead children, what's the disconnect, man? I mean, he's criticizing Obama.
I guess it's because
for like the wrong things. I mean, or for right things. You know, he's saying like, yeah, he's a friend of big business. And that's true. And I would criticize Obama for that too. But Jell-O didn't come close to even touching on criticizing Obama for the drone program and for wanting to take over the internet. And Jell-O would probably think I'm a conspiracy theorist for saying that Obama wants to take over the internet. But look at the facts, man. Look at the stuff they're doing. And I heard a whole bunch of stuff on CNN and Fox the other day that sounded to me like they were greasing us up for we need to regulate the internet. They were talking about the bombers in Boston and how both the Republican and the Democrat news source, you know, Fox News and CNN, at the same time, I was flipping back and forth. They're both giving different reports about the same subject and talking about how the Boston bombers, the alleged Boston bombers, they weren't calling them alleged anymore, though, how the Boston bombers were self-radicalized. And they both used that term as if they'd come up with it by themselves. But I'm sure it was in some FBI press release. But self-radicalized on the internet is what they said. And it's like, you know, basically, this is a big threat. Lone wolves who are self-radicalized, like, you know, you can't stop this by infiltrating the mosque. And it basically, they didn't offer a solution, but I think that their solution would be you need to infiltrate the internet, which they're already doing. So
it's such an old way of it comes from such an old world view, though. I mean, the internet is not a small thing. It's not like the internet is your Sony PlayStation or the internet is, I don't know, a cabinet in your bedroom. The internet is a window to the entire world. It is complete. I mean, it is a global thing that is huge.
So they're saying things in the world that are scary, but what they're saying is there's things that are scary on the internet. I mean, if it wasn't the internet, if it were like we flash things into each other's brains with special sunglasses, like in They Live, you know, it'd be
or, we or need like to, Google Vision. What's the new Google Eye product?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a few steps until Google puts a USB port in the back of your brain and people sign up and go, give me one.
Hey, man, I'm down for it.
I'm not. Google? Forget that, man.
Yeah, I guess Google's bad.
Google's only bad because they're so in bed with the government. You're basically saying, I'll sign up for having the government have a direct line to read and insert things in my brain.
I guess the way I look at it is if the government's got a problem with me, nothing's really going to stop them anyway. So I don't know. I want to enjoy all the benefits of the world. And so I don't know, man. I don't feel bad about being on Facebook because I know that anybody who's looking at it could use it against me. So I just don't type anything on there that I wouldn't say in front of a cop.
Really? I don't think anything I wouldn't say in front of a cop.
I guess that's the rub. Maybe we are talking about something different there. Maybe that's what's tripping me up because, if it's a direct line to your brain, I mean,
I wouldn't trust any company to have a direct line to my brain. Because they just fill it with ads, man.
But what if there were firewalls or virtual private brains by good companies like Bola? It seems like the market would figure out a way to give you the benefits or let you access the benefits without having the privacy, without having your privacy compromised. Basically, I mean, there's that now with the internet. So what would prevent that from happening with a brain device? You know.
Nothing, I guess, but the government always tries to find a way into it. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't done anything about encryption. It's still around. The reason they haven't done anything about it, well, they are trying to do something about it. They're trying to build a supercomputer cluster in Utah that can crack it. But right now, they're still way far away from being able to crack even like one, you know, properly encrypted email. But, you know, in 10 years, they'll be able to. So they're saving every email. So in 10 years, they can go back and see, let's say what Nima said to Michael about cat poo, about cat poo in encrypted email five years ago, which is why we use Pigeon because it doesn't leave. There's no record of it.
Right.
Yeah. But what else they're trying to do about it, too? I mean, the reason they're not trying to do more about it, like trying to outlaw it like they almost did, like Joe Biden almost did when he was a senator, is because not enough people use it, which I guess means I should not tell people to use it and only tell my friends to use it. But no, I think everyone should use it. So let's go to the market, man. Let's go to the market.
Okay.
All right.
Market.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
So, Nima.
Yeah, what's up?
I wrote an article that got published on GCN's website. It's called The Sorry States of Radio Station Websites, and you read it.
Yes.
I read it to you while you were working.
It was great. All right. Yep. It was story time with Michael W. Dean. Yeah.
It is sometimes.
It's good times, man.
We talk when you're working delivering pizzas. You have to put me in your pocket a lot. You're like, let me put you in your pocket when you're actually at their door. But it's kind of downtime where we get to have long, loving chats on the phone for hours at a time when you're out delivering pizzas.
Yes.
Makes me hungry.
Conduct Fiends
though.
Meetings, right?
Makes me hungry though.
Does it really?
I always end up ordering a pizza about every third time we do that.
You do. You do.
The Fiends diet. Like,
do you want to talk to the guy delivering the pizza to me?
I know. I know. But I told him. Really. I told him you said hi. So, yeah, my friend. My friend in Austin. I'm talking to him on the phone. He's delivering pizzas too, and he says, "Tell him I said hi."
Yeah, man. It was a great article. Go ahead and give us the gist of it, and you know, sort of the Cliff's notes, the Fiends notes. Of it, so people know what exactly you're trying to get out there in the world.
Well, radio, I've looked at pretty much every talk radio station website in America over the past 2 months, and about half of them really, really, really suck. Either they're really outdated and have a bunch of, a lot of them have autoplay media players, which I really hate, and they crash browsers even on modern computers and especially on older ones and on older phones. They often don't have the contact info for the station. They often don't have either the call letters or the frequency of the station. They often don't have anything useful. They're usually either low-tech and crappy or really high-tech and offer nothing and are crappy. And sometimes they ask you to – they make you fill out, you know, your profile or join a social network to even listen to their streaming media player. You know, they do things that get in the way of you using a website the way they really should want you to use a website. And it was actually – some people that are pretty high in the talk radio industry saw this and loved it and totally agreed with it. Like three or four people in different capacities. And it was a pretty cool thing for me because I'm not even in the business yet. And I looked at it and said, here's what's wrong with it. And kind of pointed at the fact that in the next, I would say 3 to 10 years, radio isn't going to mean what it means now. It is not going to be you know, you own a radio station means you own a giant tower on a hill. It's probably going to mean you're renting satellite time or you're renting, you know, phone internet time. You're on the internet. And that's what's going to replace radios in cars. I would say that in the next few years, they're going to stop building radios into cars and it's going to be an aftermarket thing. And right now they're making stock in a lot of cars, like a docking station for, you know, your iPod that hooks up to a kick-ass stereo. So I really think it's on the way out, man. And I think that people who can't even get their website right are not going to do well in the transition from, you know, transmitter-based terrestrial radio to internet-based or satellite-based radio. I mean, it's still going to be kind of the same kind of content. The fiends are hoping that it's going to get less statist, you know? I mean, hopefully,
yeah.
I mean, let's see who, I mean, really there's only two people doing it, kind of doing that now. Alex Jones, but he's still a constitutionalist, and Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live are kind of pretty much straight up ANCAPs or some variation on it. They're a lot smaller government than Alex Jones, and he's pretty small government. So those are really the two closest things out there to what we are. And we are, you know, probably take it one step further. You know, I love Free Talk Live. I think one of them's an anarchist and one's a minarchist. I think it changes. I don't really know. I should ask them before I say anything about it. But
as far as I understand it, and I'm not 100% on this either, but Ian seems like sort of your plumb line, voluntarist, ANCAP. And but he's Mark also, seems more of a minarchist, but I'm not.
But Ian's also run for office, which I wouldn't do.
That's true.
But I think he kind of did it as a statement more than actually wanting to be involved in politics.
Right. Well, with Ian, there's a whole other practical aspect to, I mean, what he does with the Free State Project and what the Free State Project does in general. I mean, what they're trying, they have a goal of liberty in their lifetime. And so they have plans and strategies to achieve that goal. So it's kind of different than people like us who really just talk.
We're just talkers. That's why we're in talkers.
We're just talkers.
Although Free Talk Live are in the top 100. Which is a thing talkers does every year. So there. We're in the top, we're in the bottom 100, but we'll soon be better ranked.
Yes.
We got our toe in the water today.
Than we are now, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We'll soon be better ranked than we are now because we haven't even
done a single show. And yep. But I think we have three.
It's like Nicki Minaj when she was so huge, but she hadn't had an album out yet. And it was like, oh, really? That's the way music works now.
How'd that happen?
You can be huge without even having an album. She had features on other people's songs. Like she was in that Young Money Millionaires joint, Bedrock. And she had a really great verse. And there were some YouTube videos of her freestyling on like some BET show. And so she just had a lot of buzz. And she's got this line in a song on a Kanye album where she says, 50K for a verse, no album out. Basically saying, hey, I'm already getting $50,000 for 16 bars of raps, and I haven't even had an album yet. So
nice. Well, but she was on other people's albums. I mean, before that, you had Angeline in Los Angeles, who even before you had like Paris Hilton being famous on TV for being famous, Angeline was famous for being on billboards, basically. Do you know about her?
Angeline, no. I know Lurleen from the Simpsons episode, but I don't know Angeline.
She's kind of like a blonde LA version of Lurleen.
Oh, okay.
She was bottle.
I don't know what that is.
She was basically a bottle blonde who wasn't an actress, wasn't anything. I guess she was a model, but didn't get any work as a model. Was that her name? Angeline. I don't even know if that was her name, but she was married to or dating some much older rich businessman who bought her billboard space for years in LA, all over LA. And it was like just her. She kind of looked like a low budget Marilyn Monroe, and the billboards were her reclining in a sexy pose along the whole billboard. And they were giant and they were all over LA.
And they weren't selling anything, but no. her look.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it kind
was
of...
Was the intention that people would like the way it looked so then she would get work as a model?
Right, and I don't think she ever did, but it just kind of became its own its own meme. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually saw her once getting into her car. I've seen her in person. Angeline.
Like, right. Hey!
Let me...
Angeline.
Let me send you a link to her. We can talk about her. It's
so
weird.
I can react.
She's weird. Yeah, I'll send you pictures, too, of the billboards.
You like weird things.
I do like weird things.
You swing that way.
I swing weird.
Angeline. It doesn't have a pronouncer.
Yeah, Angeline.
Okay. Angeline is an American model and actress who ostensibly became an icon of Hollywood and L.A., best known for purchasing billboards advertising herself. That is very stereotypical L.A. from what I know. I've never lived in L.A., but I've visited a couple
times.
Well,
that's kind of why it became a meme, was it was indicative to a lot of people of this is what L.A. is. This is what fame is in L.A.
Yeah, yeah. It's buying your own billboard to advertise yourself.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat, though. I mean, that's a market thing,
I just
right?
sent you
I mean,
a picture.
There's no coercion
I sent you a picture
there.
Of... No, I think it was cool, man. I think it was cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Did you see the picture of her billboard?
Go Lurline. Yeah.
Angeline, not Lurline. Oh, here's seven interesting facts about her. We could read some of these.
Okay. We will read these interesting facts about Lurline. I'm going to keep calling her Lurline.
The pink Corvette she drives today is her second one. The first one's license plate read Angeline. This one says Angeline. It's spelled different. I guess she couldn't get the same license. Angeline.
Yeah, yeah. Some say her former rich husband funded the life-size billboards, which Angeline has claimed it was investors who picked up the bills. Investors. I see. I don't think they should call it life-sized billboards. It's way bigger
than
life-size, isn't
it? It's like Godzilla life-size.
Yeah. She's said to be in her late 40s, but Angeline is still clearly obsessed with Barbie. In one of her many billboards, she said, "Barbie wishes she were me."
She has a Twitter account, but hasn't posted since 2007. Her last episode reads, her last message, that's an episode these days, is a Twitter message.
Or
for Angeline, that would be an episode. "It's so hot, I can't get my nail polish to dry. At least we have an excuse to wear next to nothing. Who else is suffering in LA heat?" Oh, she in 2003, she was a candidate in the California recall election. That was the one where Schwarzenegger won. Her slogan, "We've had gray, we've had brown, it's time for some blonde and pink." She played a hitchhiker in the 2000 movie Flies on Cupid and a Barbara Bush impersonator in the Malibu Beach Vampires in 1991 and was a gas girl in 1988's Earth Girls Are Easy. That's the only of those three I've heard of.
Barbara Bush impersonator. See, there's her career mistake right there. wonder she couldn't get any work.
Or
after
where
that.
She should have gone.
Aren't you Barbara Bush?
No, I'm Barbara's Bush. Yeah.
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 All right. Go LA. Angeline.
I want to credit Crazy Rich for the image. Let's see. What image did he make? I'm the crazy guy in the picture. I don't know what this is for. I have a note to credit Crazy Rich for a picture, but he makes so many, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, yeah. It was some amazing thing.
Thanks, Crazy Rich. I made one today.
Yeah,
I took a picture. You sent me a picture that you took at some music rental place of a basket
of
SM58 microphones, you know, like the return basket. It kind of looks like the baskets that they have on golf courses to pick up the golf balls in.
Yes, exactly.
And I wanted to call it a bag of dicks, and you said, "I don't want to call that microphone a dick because I use them."
And I said, "It's always in my face."
And I said, "No, no homophobia, no homo." And so you came up with a good one, and I made one today. It says, "The Fiend's Arsenal fighting the real vampires since 2011," and it's a box of microphones. So there you go.
Yes, because we have we used to have Second Amendment arsenals before we lost them in a voting accident. Now we have First Amendment arsenals.
That's all that's left, and that's going soon. I have an SM58 just kind of here in my hand. But I'm using a Shure Beta 57A.
Yeah, you hold a mic while you talk into an actual... You hold a dead mic while you're talking into a live mic.
Sometimes I just walk around the house holding the SM58 because I'm not... I bought it, and I'm not using it.
Do you keep it in your pocket?
I bought it, and then I decided I didn't like it as much as one I have, so I took the round ball off the SM58 and put it on the Beta 57, and it gives me a wider... I'm over on the side now, and it still sounds good. It gives me a wider pattern. And then I was like, well, but now I don't like having this dumpy little round thing, the cylindrical one on the SM58. So I ordered a replacement for $7 on Amazon, a replacement SM58 ball grill. So that's the market, good. Man. That's the market.
That's the market, baby.
So on that picture you sent me from Rock and Roll Rentals, it said returned microphones, and under it, it said Micos des Returnos or something like the Spanish equivalent. Was that real Spanish or fake Spanish?
Let me look at the original image.
Yeah, I don't have the original. I altered it and did not see it.
It honestly wouldn't surprise me either way. I mean, we are in Texas. There is a big Hispanic population, and they probably use microphones a lot. So
there's a line in
Spanish, could be fake Spanish,
in that show Treme, where there's a carpetbagger from Texas who's working, making a lot of FEMA money in New Orleans, sending contractors to do actual work. Well, sometimes they're decorating houses that are later tear down. Renovating them, then tearing them down and getting FEMA money on both ends. But they're getting so much work to do all this stuff from FEMA. And this is literally happened. They were getting so much work that his crew couldn't cover it. And he said to the crew, what are we going to do, man? We need more people. And the guy's like, I don't know. I've run out of Mexicans and I'm starting to hire Panamanians. And he said, son, I'm from Texas. It's physically impossible to run out of Mexicans.
That's racist, but hilarious.
Pretty much true in Texas, and probably, you know, I mean, they're hard workers in Texas. They'll come over to Louisiana and work. Is that racist? Is that racist to say those people are hard workers? Like, I guess I'm being collective. They aren't all. I've seen some. Yeah,
somebody would probably say that's
a siesta. But maybe that's after hard work.
Yeah, I guess what it comes down to is who cares as long as you're not tyrannizing somebody, man. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. So I got, let's see, two things left to talk about. One is the central planning vending machines for hookers. Did we talk about that on the phone last night? Yeah.
We talked about it, but not on the cast. So yeah, we can talk about vending machine prostitutes.
In San Francisco, they had the problem of all the homeless people crapping everywhere and it scaring tourists away. So what they did was they stole a bunch of tax money and bought these really expensive portable toilets to put everywhere. But they didn't want to just have porta potties that anybody could walk in and use. They bought incredibly expensive like buildings that they bring on a flatbed truck and set down that look really stylish and modern and almost French. And you put money into them and they have a swinging door that opens up and you go in there and do your business. And they're giant. Like, you can probably put two people in wheelchairs in there, and they're made to be wheelchair accessible. And after 20 minutes, though, the door just opens, whether you're done or not, you know, to keep people from living in them, I guess. So they basically just turned into 24/7 crack whorehouses. Like, and they have them in L.A. too. DJ has actually seen someone negotiating sex for money on the train. And then when they get off the subway, they go into this thing together. The thing that I was thinking, and the way that they get the homeless people to use them, since they don't have money, is with your welfare check, you get a bunch of tokens that work in them.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you have to say
tokens.
About
central? Is that really what they're called?
Central planning machine, vending machines for hookers, basically.
Well, I don't think anything centrally planned is a good idea, but man, in Lip Air, you could definitely have those. I always always wish that I could drive by and just have a pay toilet somewhere that I could drive to and use the bathroom rather than going into a gas station and using their bathroom and feeling guilty because I didn't buy a pack of gum.
So you want to stop and shite. basically.
Yeah. By the way, sometimes you gotta go.
The third part of the cast is the part that would never be on radio for any program directors who are listening. We don't do this. This is the non-radio one, the midweek.
Not only that, but I remember being a teenager. I think I was 17, and around that age when you start to become sexually active, and the biggest thing is it's hard to find a place to get your freak on, so to speak. And I remember having cops harass us for parking in a park. You know, like, where else are we supposed to go? We go to a park, right? You figure that you're going to be okay. Or even, like, back in the woods, and cops would go harass us. I've been stopped by cops with girls so many
times.
They're
perverts. They want to watch. It's like a hobby of theirs. Yeah, they want to stop you because they're not getting any.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I always wanted there to be a place where you could go. And, you know, I even tried to go to a motel once, and it was before I was 18, and they wouldn't give hotel rooms to people who weren't 18. And so I had to, like, lie and say, oh, my wallet got stolen. I am 18, but I'm down on my luck. I just need an hour or two to rest and recuperate. You know, I just got robbed. And they grudgingly gave me the room, and I got to get my freak on. But wouldn't it be great if there were little private property areas to go do whatever you want, take a nap? You know, because what we have right now is just we have the tragedy of the commons. That's why you have homeless bums crapping in alleys, because nobody owns the alley.
They have places in Tokyo that are like little rabbit warrens, where they have a bunch of like coffin sized little rooms, literally like all you can do in them is lie down and nap, that businessmen who are commuters will do. Like people who have a long commute, you know, sometimes they just want to stay over. They work late, they have to be there early, and instead of going back home, they'll just sleep in them. But they people also use them for sex. I would say that these porta potties becoming vending machines for prostitutes basically isn't even necessarily central planning unintended consequences. I think it might be secret intended consequences, because several years before that, when I was living in San Francisco, there was a group called Coyote, which was a prostitute and sex workers rights lobbying group. And they did good work, and I liked the stuff they did, and they actually had some sway with the city council, which is only in San Francisco. But they proposed, There was a land use question. Like there was this, it had been a parking lot, but it was in an area that didn't need parking lots. It was down by like Harrison and 25th, right across the street from where my band practiced. And they were having a council meeting, whatever. The city council is called something else in San Francisco.
The Board of Supervisors, yes, or something like that.
And they had a meeting where people were to come forth and offer suggested public uses for that. And Coyote came forth, and this got a lot of play in the paper. Coyote wanted to use it for a legal prostitution place, or a we'll leave you alone prostitution place. And what they wanted to do was put up a bunch of cots in the parking lot with little, like, you know, dividers like they have in a doctor's office where you get undressed behind them, kind of thing, like little partitions that can be moved around. And then at the end of each bed, they wanted to have a table with a sharps container for junkies to put their used needles in. And I thought this was a great idea, but even in San Francisco, people were like, no, that's horrible, you know. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, my band practices about 50 feet from there. I'm all for having cheap, junky prostitutes right outside after band practice.
Right. But less of a commute to go get your cheap, junky prostitutes after band practice. Yep.
So I got one last thing to say that's pretty funny. This GCN article, you got more?
Before I've got something on that subject. I think that you're bumping into it right there with your last theory, because I think the reason why we don't have a lot of public toilets or public private spaces that are really small, you know, that are privately funded and owned, is because of the prohibition of prostitution.
Yeah.
I think it's because entrepreneurs don't want to risk having their business raided by the cops and taking down and becoming accomplices to prostitution. Because if you do have a place like that, people will end up having sex in there, and then you're at risk. So there's regime uncertainty. And so I think it's that illegality of, or the prohibition of prostitution and the taboo of sex, that prevents us from having these things like you have in Japan, where it's nice and professional and you just go pay a little bit of money and then you have your own little private space, your home away from home in the middle of an urban area for a little bit.
Yep. So last thing here, the article I wrote on GCN, about what's wrong with radio station websites. There was a comment on there. I don't know if it got removed or if it just fell off, but it's not there anymore. There was a comment from somebody. I'm not going to say his name or his radio station or his website, but he posted on there, great article. Can you look at my website and tell me what's wrong with it? And I just sent you a link for it. I want you to look at it with me and help tell what's wrong with it. It's pretty awesome in a way. It's first of all, it's not a radio station. It's a ham radio operator, and he has his call letters here. And it's like my article wasn't addressing that at all because they're not a public company that people are trying to do business with. So I don't really see anything wrong with this website for what it is. It's got a picture of an old man, white guy, probably about 75 or older, in obviously in California somewhere. He's like in his backyard in some, I think, rich neighborhood up on a hill where there's giant, you know, you can tell it's California. It's all white. It's got blue links like stuff used to have back in the dawn of the internet. I really think this site is has not been updated since the dawn of the internet. His URL is something like http://home.earthlink.net/tilde, and then a bunch of random letters that also include his call letters. It's not a very memorable URL.
You should time machine it for 1995 and see if it is the same.
Yeah. I don't think that they... I think they only do domains, not sites on Earthlink. My first website was actually an Earthlink. Let's see if mine is still there, because they all did the earthlink.net/tilde, and mine was Kitty Feet. Before I got a domain name, let's see, page not found. All right. But here's the main thing that's wrong with this website is the first thing he says is start here, please, in big bold letters with arrows pointing to the left. And there's a link to a PDF. So basically, when you come to my website, I want you to read my PDF. Now click on the PDF. It's it's a long article he wrote about God that like analyzes it in almost mathematical terms. And it's really
God's
bizarre.
Ages or eons, creation, disruption, flood. We are here right before the earthquake and then the 1,000 years of fire.
Yeah. So that's like, that's not really a website where it says start here and then download a PDF and read it. That's my critique. So,
although I guess looking at it in person and not just hearing you describe it, it's cleaner and more easily navigatable than some of the websites that people pay a lot of money for,
man.
And it's nothing but flash animation.
Actually, Yep, and there's probably a phone number here somewhere. Let's see. No, there's no contact info. But, there is.
But he's not a business.
There is call, because it's for other ham radio operators, and it has his call letters at least, so you could find him that way. Oh, there's an email address, too. All right. So that's all I got today. We described a website y'all can't see.
That's our kicker.
Good radio, man. All right.
All right, fiends. Thank you so much for joining us. And listen to us next on LRN on, will it be our last Sunday live LRN show? Exclusively on LRN?
Yeah. Our last one is this weekend. And then next week we have our last Thursday show if Nima's not in jail again. and then, then we're on radio, man, but we'll still be doing a midweek non-live, non-radio one like this every week, sometime Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, around there. So,
We haven't pinned the date down yet, the day of the week.
I don't know if we'll have to.
I'm thinking Wednesday.
I think we'll do it. Okay. You know, we'll shoot for Wednesday have variations if we need to. Cause cool. I don't like being at the same place at the same time, and you're too busy to be always at the same place at the same time. So
maybe it'll help once I have a calendar.
All right, man, get a calendar. Fiends. Right. Get a fiends calendar.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS freedomfiends.com. Worms.